This is the word of the Lord in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. I think anyone who spends any time reading the scriptures will find out good works are a good thing to do. They need to be something we need to be focused on. And so that brings me to the next question. What is this faithful saying that helps us to do good works, helps us to be careful to do good works, which are profitable unto men? Verse 3 says, and I believe this is what Paul is referring to when he says the faithful saying, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That is the faithful saying that Paul wants Titus to constantly affirm. And that is what should lead us to do and to be careful to do good works. We need to remember what we were before the grace of God and his mercy was shown upon us. We were vile. We could not do good works. We were set against doing good works. We were set against God. And we were set only to serve ourselves. But he has changed us. And we are different now. And the way we are different was not by works of righteousness that we have done. It was by his mercy he saved us. And the way he does this, and the way it's described to us, is the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The word regeneration means to come back to life. It talks about being dead and then coming back to life. In biology, they use this term, refer to an animal that has the capacity that when you cut off a limb, it can grow it back. And Paul just talked about how we were dead, serving only our own lusts. There's nothing in us that moves towards God. There's nothing in us that desires anything apart from our own lusts. We were hateful and envious. That is death. And this says that there was a washing done when we were made alive. And it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. There is a making alive that we do not do, that Paul credits only to the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And he says it washed us.
Yeah.
And it says he renews us. We have those diverse lusts and we have this wickedness in us. And that is what has the power over us. And so the first thing the Holy Ghost does in regeneration is takes that away. It no longer has the control over us. Something else can lead us. Something else can be our root desires.
Yes.
And what that is the Holy Ghost. It renews us. It takes away that which controlled us before and puts something else in its place.
Yes.
And it puts itself in its place. The Holy Ghost comes and takes the place of our sinful nature that had dominion over us, and now he rules in our hearts. And if you want to know how that happens, Jesus teaches us that the Spirit goes wherever it wants to, and that we might perceive what it's doing, where it's blowing, like the wind does, but we cannot tell from where it comes or where it is going next. We don't know.
Amen.
It goes wherever he wants to go. The Apostle Paul, in relating his own conversion experience and his own regeneration, he talks about the fact that he was wicked and vile. And you go to Acts chapter 9, you see what was in that man. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. What you breathe out is what's in you. So what was inside of Paul was a desire to kill and to destroy. That's all that man had in him. And then something happens to him. Someone speaks to him. A man did not speak to him. There was a very, very good man that spoke to him for a very, very long time before Acts chapter 9. His name was Stephen. And that man preached an elegant sermon. And the Apostle Paul killed him.
Yeah.
It had no effect on that evil man. But the Lord changed him and he's no longer evil.
Yes.
He came to him and he spoke to him and changed what was inside of him. He took what was evil inside of Paul and washed it away, and set in its place a desire to say the words, "Who art thou, Lord? And what would you have me to do?"
Yes.
That is very different. Man did not give that to Paul. God gave that to Paul.
Right.
In 1 Timothy, we are told that Paul is the prime example that we have. He's the first. He's the one we should look to understand what's happening to ourselves. And so if you're trying to understand how does the Holy Ghost work, what does that look like, what's going to be happening around me, however you describe it should look like what happened to Paul. And what happened to Paul was no man could get to him, but God could.
Yes.
And that's what happened to each and every one of us. Paul tells us there that anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and trusts in him for eternal life is supposed to learn from Paul's example. And we are supposed to learn that it is not what we do and it's not what anyone else can do, it's what God does that changes us. And the reason we are changed is because we have been justified by his grace.
Yes.
It is not that God is arbitrary and decides, well, I'm going to save this person simply because I want to. That's true. But God is holy. And in his holiness, from reading the Old Testament, it appears that he does not put up with sin at all.
Right.
He does not just put it out of his mind needlessly. He does not decide that, oh, I'm going to withhold justice simply because I want to. He doesn't do that. So in order to be blessed with this wonderful thing, to be blessed with regeneration and renewing by the Holy Ghost, we had to be changed in his sight. And the way you're changed in his sight is not, again, not by something you do, because you can't do anything. Your righteousness is not good enough. You're justified by his grace.
Yes.
Grace is something that is not merited by the person that receives it. If you have grace, it is not of yourself. You are not the reason you have grace. It's somebody else.
Yeah.
And that somebody else is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was righteous, and his righteousness is applied to us. God did not simply ignore our righteousness. He had it destroyed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And he takes his righteousness and places it upon us. And that is why we are given this wonderful gift. It's not that God is suddenly not holy anymore. He is still holy, but he's also merciful at the same time.
Yes.
And that is a beautiful thing that I don't have enough words to talk about. But these are the faithful things that we're supposed to remember, that we are changed by the power of God and nothing else. And the reason we're changed and given that wonderful gift is because of something that somebody else did, that he did perfectly on our behalf. So when we go into the world and we try to choose what we're going to say to people, we're going to try to choose what actions we should do, they should be governed by remembering that we have been changed, and the people around us have probably been changed, and we need to talk to them like they're changed people. And we need to use words that changed people are supposed to use. I'm not supposed to use words that I learned from my college professors. I'm not supposed to use words I even learned necessarily from my parents. I should use the words that God teaches me to use to talk to his children, because that's who I'm dealing with. I'm not dealing with some random person. I'm dealing with someone who's been touched by the grace of God. And I need to talk to them like that's what's happened to them, because it's true. So when you're having a hard time figuring out what to say or how to say it, remember these faithful sayings, that you were changed by the grace of God and the irresistible power of God. And that is because of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this place that we've had to come and worship you, and I pray that the songs that we have sung and the messages that have been brought have been glorifying to you, Lord, and glorifying to no other. I pray that you please help our feeble minds to remember what we've been taught and to not allow ourselves to continue on as though we haven't heard from the God of heaven, that we'd remember what you've told us, that you'd help us to serve you better and to be more loving to one another. I pray for those, dear Lord, that were mentioned that are suffering from loss, dear Lord. That is a difficult thing. And I thank you that you have shown us that loss is not the end. And I pray that you please help comfort those that are grieving from loss, that they would remember that that is not the end. I pray for those that are sick, dear Lord, that you please be with them and heal them if it be your will. Be with those that are caring for them. Grant them patience and strength and wisdom, dear Lord. I pray that you please be with these two brothers as they come before us, to bless them with your spirit and to guide them and to help us as we listen, to bless our minds, to be attentive. I pray that you please be with us all as we go our separate ways, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.